Morning.
Uh-oh.
Getting some audio feedback. Well, welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for October 9th, 2011. I'm your host, Reverend Koyo Kubose. So glad that you joined us. And, well, it's getting cooler. Autumn is here. Leaves are falling. Fruit is ripe. And the seasons keep rolling on. I'd like to begin with our guest today that will give us a Dharma glimpse. This is Christine Kubose of Yuikaipa, California, which is east of L.A., and she's the oldest grandchild of the late Reverend Guillaume and Minnie Kubose. So, Christine Kubose.
Hi, thank you for inviting me to speak this morning. I have a little story about one of my patients again. I always get inspired when I treat my patients. Most of them have been through a lot and kind of keeps me going. So my business partner, Teresa, was treating a patient who was hit by a car in 2004. So she's getting into her car, and she was hit by another car where the driver lost control in the snow. So she broke her pelvis and had a lot of other injuries. And then a few years later, she started having sharp pains in her jaw and her face. And she was diagnosed with trigeminal neuralgia. Now, that's something that we learned about in TT school, but it's something that we really don't see that often as a physical therapist. And actually, in my 16 years of being a therapist, I have never come across a patient with trigeminal neuralgia. So both Teresa and I, we've been taking a lot of advanced classes based in osteopathic medicine. So Teresa asked me to co-treat with her and see this patient because she was very involved. She had difficulty eating and chewing, difficulty talking, had constant pain, and it was really even painful to smile. So to give you a quick background, the trigeminal nerve is comprised of three facial nerves that come together, and it starts in the low part of your brain, and then it forms kind of a big bundle of sensory and motor nerves near the jaw, and then it branches out to the forehead, the cheek, and the jaw. And when the nerve gets compressed or pulled or irritated, it causes extreme pain, and it has actually been known to be called a suicide disease because it's so painful. So nonetheless, we purchased a book on the cranial nerves, and we buy an atlas of neuroanatomy because we really wanted to study that nerve. And we recently attended a one-day seminar on facial pain that the patient told us about. So I'm happy to say that with all this work, she's actually improved. And she came in one time and said she was doing really well and didn't need treatment. She only has a little bit of pain left by her lower lip, and she was able to cut back on one of her medications. So one time, I was treating her by myself because Teresa was out of town. So during the treatment, she was talking about her background as a Hindu. Now, she's from India and has a strong sense of faith in her religion. And she told me, well, she doesn't ask why me about her condition, or she doesn't feel sorry for herself. And she said that she actually welcomes it in a way. She's just saying, it is what it is, and I accept it. And if this is the way it's going to be, I'm okay with it. Now, she's been through a decompression surgery where they cut a hole in the skull and put a piece of Teflon between the artery, and that's compressing the nerve. That failed after about 3 months. Then she went through another surgery called a gamma knife surgery where they actually partially cut the nerve to deaden the pain. That also failed. So she's currently on high doses of medication. And after talking with her about her acceptance of all this, it sounded really familiar and similar to some of the teachings that I've read in Grandpa Kubose's book and Uncle Sam's newsletters. And I actually lent her two of Grandpa Kubose's books to read because she was interested in them after I described them to her. I really admire her tenacity. You know, she's been in constant pain for years, and to live moment to moment is really a trial for her. And she always talked about putting her kids first, making sure they were okay, and no matter how much pain she was in, she always made sure they were taken care of. So basically, you know, she's pushed through two surgeries and just keeps on going. And I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to treat her and potentially make changes where she can actually maybe have no pain. And the message I take from her is the keep going that Uncle Sonnen talks about and the every day is a good day motto that Grandpa Kabosa used to say a lot. So, you know, I think about her often and hope that I will be able to help her. And that's my story for today. Just keep going, and there's always something good in every day. Thank you.
Well, I got a lot of high-pitched feedback. I don't know what. Bear with me. Maybe it'll go away. Just a minute. I'm going to hang up and call back, so hang on. I'll be right back. Okay. I called back in. Well, at least we know what to do. Well, appreciate your understanding. Good thing Buddhists are understanding when things don't go right. We're always understanding when things are going okay. But when they don't go okay, just like Christine's physical therapist patient, we have to accept the conditions that arise. Sometimes we don't know why they occurred. And in a way, I guess, you know, when Blog Talk Radio has technical difficulties, it's a little bit different than life difficulties, because, you know, well, what are you going to do? I think it's a little bit more like, something's causing this, and we have to try to figure it out. And if not, well, we got to shut down. But sometimes with life things, in a way, it's similar, because if it was easy to figure out, then it would not be a difficult situation. You know, it was easy to fix up. But maybe we're a little less likely to say, well, hey, by accepting it, that is something that leads to new doors opening. I think that's the key. And as I listen to Christine's Dharma talk, you know, the Japanese phrase, shigatakanai. Shigatakanai means it's something that the older generation always said, and myself and younger generation always thought it was something sort of negative. You know, well, it can't be helped. Shigatakanai means, oh, it can't be helped. That's the way it is. And to us, we thought that, to us young kids, we thought, oh, the adults, they're so passive and accepting. They're not assertive. They don't fight. They accept. But Shigatakanai has a lot of wisdom in it. And when you accept something that has happened, and you can't, you know, it's happened. For example, when the Japanese Americans and during World War II were put into the internment camps, some big life situation like that, they said, well, here we are, Shigatakanai. Let's make the best of it. We don't hear that, make the best of it, in that acceptance. And it's the key part of this is that when you accept something, then you're free to look for other doors that are opening instead of being victimized by it and wallowing in that self-victimization. Oh, yeah, why me and what come and, you know, becoming, in a sense, attached to that negative situation. So, spiritual acceptance, or strong acceptance, if you like, as opposed to weak acceptance, where acceptance to some people may connote or imply resignation and defeat, whereas, you know, spiritual acceptance is a wise acceptance. And in fact, I remember saying, you know, if you want to know the secret to happiness, it's always to align yourself with the inevitable. You don't fight the inevitable. And part of what's inevitable is when something happens and that's it. The egg is broken. Okay. Now, of course, you want to avoid those kind of situations. It doesn't mean that you whistle in the dark or it doesn't matter what happens. Of course, you want things to turn out the best way. Okay. So we're talking about a certain situation when she got the ganai. And this Hindu lady, it's no doubt, I think, that the Eastern philosophy imbues her culture, ethnic background, just like for Japanese, she got the ganai. She has her own spiritual acceptance. And it's a treasure to receive this kind of teaching as Christine did. And then she makes it her own and says, oh, this is, you know, like my, keep going. Of course, my, you know, it may be confusing for some of you that don't know. My given name is Sonnen, and to her I'm Uncle Sonnen. Whereas in later years, I took my Dharma name Koyo, so in religious context, and, you know, I'm Reverend Koyo, but to family, I'm Sonnen. So she says, oh, you know, my Uncle Sonnen's keep going teaching. Or Grandpa Gyome Kobo says, every day is a good day, one of his favorite teachings. And I was thinking about, a few weeks ago, I did a wedding up in the Napa County area, and I traveled up there and then did a wedding, and one of the relatives of the wedding party was a Hindu, older Hindu couple, and I was seated next to them at the reception dinner, and to my left was the lady. And she was dressed in a traditional sari, and she was very quiet. And sometimes you don't know what's going on in a quiet, behind a quiet person front. And but because we're seated together, and we start talking, and I asked her when she came to America, and, you know, I kind of, by asking questions, personal questions about their background and so forth, they open up and they start talking. And then she shared that she says she borrowed her, because I had married their son to one of my friend's daughters, who was a Hindu Japanese American marriage about some 7 years ago or so. And so she had borrowed one of the other relatives' Everyday Suchness, my father's book, Everyday Suchness. And so she said, she was saying that she learned and she enjoyed that book. And then she said, she gave the example of, there was one article in which it talked about, you know, everything has its place and its value, absolute value, not relative value. You come into a room and there's a grand piano right in the middle of the room, and then there's also a wastebasket in the corner. The wastebasket has its place. Everything has its place and value uniquely. And it just impressed me so much that, you know, that, well, we just happened to be seated together and we happened to start talking and this came out, and I would have never heard this if, you know, if I saw it as a great gem in our conversation. And I took it to heart and I said, yeah, because I know this example, of course, but when it reoccurs like this, it makes it somehow refocused, you know, on it. And so I took it to heart and I said, yeah, you know, to myself, I was saying, yeah, that's a great teaching. And I shouldn't take it for granted. And it's a teaching about, you know, if you say, well, because we make so many judgments about ourselves or others in terms of our value, how we define ourselves. And I thought, gee, I mean, supposing you were a wastebasket, you know, you're not a grand piano. How do you accept being a wastebasket? When you're one with being a wastebasket, then you're the best wastebasket you could be. You know? You accept it. Hey, here I am. This is what I am. You know? You cut through with all the potential negativity of, hey, how come no one appreciates me, or blah, blah, blah. So indeed, we are challenged every day in all kind of activities and to spiritual doors are ready to be opened. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Again, I appreciate you for accepting Dharma technical difficulties with the broadcast. And indeed, we keep going. And until next time, you have a very beautiful, keep going day. Thank you.